And he's in studio, ladies and gentlemen, former Toronto Blue Jay, now current special assistant to the Cleveland Indians, trying his hand at broadcasting tonight, too. Johnny Mac, John McDonald is in the house.
In the hizzy.
Nice to see you. Thanks for coming.
It's my pleasure. Good to see you guys.
So listen, you had, I don't know if people know this, Johnny Mac, you didn't, he flies in last night, has a crazy adventure getting just to the hotel.
Yes, basically, you don't want to take a cab. You didn't want to take a cab yesterday because my wife's cab to the hotel. We had some luggage and our two kids, so we split it up to make it an easy ride. And my wife's cab ride over to the hotel was an adventure. The cabbie didn't know where he was going. I had no idea where he was going to try to drop her off at the Rogers Center for some reason.
It's strange that you had a terrible experience in a cab here in the city of Toronto. Here. I've never heard of this before.
Well, it's kind of what we remember from our 7 years here. You had to be careful what cab you got in. And then my cabbie decided to jam my luggage in the back of the trunk. And then when we got to the hotel, wasn't able to open the trunk. A couple hours later, I was able to get my luggage back and also an adventurous cab ride.
Just two hours?
Yeah, only 2 hours. Yeah, we ended up, we're at a downtown hotel, and then we end up out toward Etobicoke just to figure out how to open it up. Because
what, like he had to go to a locksmith or something?
He had, well, we tried a mechanic first, and they were going to have to take the whole car apart, and he decided to try to go get his key, which he didn't have on him because he only had his key fob, and he had to go get his key from.
So you traveled with him?
I wasn't letting him take my luggage with me. I may never see him again.
Yeah.
That was a choice. Yeah, he's like, yeah, just I'll be back in an hour.
What was
like,
no, no.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, no. All cabs kind of look alike. The cabs. So am I gonna find them again? He's really gonna come back?
What was the small talk like in the cab? What'd you guys talk
small
about?
Small is what it was.
Non-existent. Hey, listen, thanks for coming. Appreciate it. You're in town with the Indians now. Now, special assistant means what? You're a special assistant to the Cleveland Indians, and that is what?
Well, it was geared toward baseball operations, so the minor leagues and working with the minor leaguers, helping them transition from level to level, helping them pretty much navigate their way through the minors, working with the infielders, especially the middle infielders, but it was a little bit with everybody. You'd get to a city with the minor league club and talk baseball, go out on the field, work, try to help guys get better taking ground balls, getting better thinking about what's going to happen in the games, the whole mindset of what it's going to be like when they go to the next level, if they're in AA, what AAA is going to be like, and especially AAA to the big leagues, because you've got to mentally be prepared to get there and what it's going to be like and the preparation before the game. And I think we spent a lot of time on the mental preparation and the preparation of actually how to play the infielders, where you're going to be. The positioning is totally different in the minor leagues and the big leagues. There's so much more information. And we started funneling that information to the guys a little bit more in a little more specific way as they're going to see when they get to Cleveland.
So you're in town with Cleveland because Cleveland and Toronto go at it tonight, 7 p.m. on Sportsnet. You can watch it on Sportsnet. Listen to it right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So you're going to go down there after. See, this is interesting to me. I find this interesting. You're going to go down there after you're done and, like, walk around to talk to the guys, say, stand here, don't stand there, the shift's on, you're over here. Or do you calm guys down and just kind of talk to them about baseball, like a liaison, so to speak?
Yeah, with the young guys, we've got a couple of young guys on the left side of the infield, Francisco Lindor and Giovanni Urshela, who are navigating their first stint in the big league. So they've been here for about 2 months, and just asking them, what's going on? What are you thinking? What's happened the last, week or so since I haven't seen you and that surprised you, any questions, because I've been there. I've made the mistakes. It's trying to help them not make the mistakes that I made when I was coming up.
Is that the biggest jump, John, that from AAA to the big leagues, or is it double to single A? Is that just the biggest shock to your system when you do make it to the show?
It's being in the big leagues, because it's a lot of guys can get here, but staying here is a whole different animal. Everyone's good. It all filters down from the top. It's, there's 750 guys in the big leagues, and there's 400 guys that are going to have a spot for, the next 8 years. So how do all the young guys in the minor leagues, filter up and stay there? And guys can get there, and you see it all the time. Somebody comes up for 2 weeks, and you can look at rosters from the years I was here in Toronto, and you're like, man, what happened to that guy? Oh, I remember that name. Yeah. He pitched three games, and that was it, and they're done. How do you find a way to stay there? Because the guys that are good, really good, the starters, they're there. You know, you've got to do something really special to get through and be an everyday starter and then make an impact. You have to play well, or else they're gonna, you know, we'll find somebody else.
So you're in town with the Cleveland Indians again. Jays, Cleveland. Johnny Mack, our guest, former Toronto Blue Jay, joining us in studio this morning. So you're in town. Have you heard the Jays are pretty good?
It's been fun to watch this year, hasn't it? And I think everybody that's worn the uniform, been a part of this organization in here in Toronto.
You like seeing it?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, I had Lyle Overbay text me last night. You know, it's awesome because he knew I was coming up here, and he's like, you know, have fun, enjoy it, because you know this is what you want as a player. When we were playing here, we wanted to win, so the fan base could be like this and be as rowdy and loud. I mean, we knew what it was like to play in front of the big crowds. We didn't see it as much, but we didn't win as many games. And that's, we didn't go on this type of roll. And the moves that Alex has made, and it's the whole package of what's going on here is awesome.
You played here during some really lean times, not very big crowds, and it's not. You'd obviously go to another stadium. You go to another ballpark. Like you go to Boston. You go to Cleveland back in the day, and it's rammed, and it's a party, and people are stoked. And it's about, talk about the difference of playing in front, specifically at home, in front of a crowd where it's jamming and people expect you to win that game.
Yeah, it takes your game to a little bit higher level. I mean, you still feel like on any given night you could be the best player in the world. You know, just the level that we're at. But when the crowd's loud and it's crazy and you can't get the attention of the second baseman if you're playing shortstop because it's so loud, it's, you know, it's exciting too, and you want to do great things, and it locks you in. It actually calms you down because your focus gets so much, gets a little bit better, gets a little tighter.
Did you guys understand when you were here that the crowd isn't coming because we're not winning? Do you understand that as a ball player, or do you get kind of jaded or bitter towards the fans?
You're not jaded or bitter. You expect more from yourself because you want to do things that are going to bring more people out to the ballpark, because you knew everybody was listening. The radio ratings were fantastic while I was here. TV ratings were good, and we had some pretty good years, but we just couldn't get over the hump. And the fact that Boston and New York were as good as they were during that stretch while I was here, it made it harder because, you know, we had some teams. I think we played 500 ball during the 7 years I was here. Right around there. And we had some good teams. We won 88 games, almost won 90 games 1 year, but we're 10 games out of first place. Mm-hmm. And not even close in the wild card because the way that the other team ran away with it.
Right.
Johnny Mack, John McDonald, former Jays, our guest, talking about the success the Blue Jays are having. They are now 74-56. Alex Anthopoulos has set the table, obviously did such an unbelievable job at the trade deadline, and that's translated. I think is it even more surprising how well these trades have paid off for the Toronto Blue Jays? Because I don't know that I've ever seen, we were talking about it this morning, I don't know that you see big trades. You don't often see big trades working out in spades like it's happening now.
When you go out and you get Troy Tulowitzki and David Price, I think the expectation should be that this should work, not this better work, or, well, I hope this works. You know, you got two tremendous baseball players to plug into a lineup around a lot of talent, and an ace at the top of a staff, which, you know, I think this organization needed at this time. Yeah. I think they're right where we should expect them to be. You know, right at the top of this division, playing good baseball. I mean, you've got a shortstop. I know, and nothing against Jose Reyes, but the type of energy, different type of energy that Tulowitzki brings, and dynamic that
seems
he brings
to calm
to
the guys
team.
Down too. You know, Troy seems to have calmed down that infield big time.
Yeah, well, he has a little bit more experience. I don't know if you know, communication wise, I don't know how that's changed in the infield. I mean, they're both, you know, very good baseball players, but the energy that Troy's brought to this club and David every fifth day expecting to win, what that trickles down, just like having Doc on the mound, you know, how that trickled down, you know, you expected to win and let's win around Doc, and it takes a pressure off of other guys feeling like, oh, I've got to go out and do it all. I mean, look at that lineup. Where's the pressure in that lineup for guys to come out and say, oh, I've got to have a big game today for us to win? No, there's eight guys in that lineup, right. Nine guys in the lineup that can do damage on a given night.
John, you obviously won a World Series with the Red Sox in 2013. Do you see any similarities from that team to what you see with this team?
I do, because of the way you can notice the the guys on TV, how much fun that they're having, but fun geared toward winning. I mean, it's not just fun for the sake of having fun. We're out here and you know, trying to liven up the crowd. No, yeah. The crowd's doing their thing. The players are doing their thing. And how can we win games? And it seems like the focus, while it's always on winning, it's that winning has gotten to another level because these guys can taste it right now. They taste the postseason and they know the fact that they have an ace. Mm-hmm. And when you have an ace going into the postseason, you know, is what you need. You've got it. Why can't you win it?
John McDonald, again, former Jays, our in-studio guest in town with Cleveland. You're doing the radio broadcast as your first time ever.
That's going to be an adventure tonight. We'll see how that goes. You know,
you nervous?
I'm not nervous. I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be challenging at times for me not to say a lot mm-hmm. when I'm on the air and not to be thinking as much and speaking out and not missing pitches. In spring training, I missed a couple pitches because we got talking in the booth and the timeout.
Is that what they tell you? Don't miss any pitches?
We don't want to miss pitches because it's radio. You can't see it. No. On TV, you can miss pitches.
Just do what Harry Carey did and make it up.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. No,
there's
on these first
samurai
couple days.
In the outfield, and he's killing the outfield right now with a sword. You should just make some stuff.
I don't know if that'll fly for me tonight, man. You know, if I get this opportunity a couple more times, I might mix that in.
Oh my God, there's a hawk in the outfield, and he's eating a mouse. But
that's
no,
pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. So you're gonna go do this this thing tonight. And do you mind doing us a favor? Can you drop in because this the top four guys, the 1 through 4, we're calling them Mount Crushmore. Do you mind dropping that in tonight?
A Mount Crushmore.
Yeah, that's what we call them, Mount Crushmore.
Yeah, man. I think
you
I can fit that in. I like that.
You like it?
Yeah.
You ever heard of it before?
No.
Yeah, there you go. George came up with it, but it, actually, I did. He just
no. Dean's lying to you right to your face yeah. right now, Johnny Mac.
let's get to the business side of things now. With the Indians in town, expected today that there will be an announcement that the president of your organization, Mark Shapiro, will be announced as the new president of the Toronto Blue Jays. Do you have some insight into the kind of guy we're getting, if indeed that does happen?
Sure, if indeed that does happen. He's a tremendous person.
Is it happening? First of all, is it happening?
Well, I got word that there's isn't there an announcement later this morning.
You got word through the Indians that there's an announcement later
there
this morning?
There could potentially be an announcement later this morning.
So is
I'm
it?
Not at liberty to say.
Is it happening? Yes or no?
Well, he's a tremendous person. Yeah. He was my farm director when I got drafted.
Oh, was he really?
So I got drafted in 1996. One of the first people I met when I got to Winter Haven, Florida for a little mini camp. And you know, he's helped me through this organization get through Cleveland and get to the big leagues. His persistence in trying to help me get to the big leagues, I couldn't have asked for anything more from anybody, any one person inside of an organization. The
universally liked, everybody else feel the same way.
I don't
way
know
about
how you don't like Mark. You know, well, first and foremost, he's a good person. He's a great communicator. And I think that's what has helped him stand out in Cleveland for as many years as he's been there, because there's a lot of transparency in that organization. He wants people to know exactly where they stand. He wants players, if they know where they stand, that they're going to be more comfortable. They're going to give you everything that they have. When players are worrying about things that they can't control, you know, you need to allow them to know what's going on. And it helps in the organization. He does that top down. That's not just player wise. That's anyone that works in the organization.
But he got to start in the development part, the player part of it. I mean, that's really where he kind of started to get into the management part of baseball, right? And
yes.
So now he's obviously, if this announcement happens today, John, if it happens today, then he's going to apparently focus more on the business side of it. But he apparently knows what he's doing there as well. Is that not correct?
He's done a great job. The ballpark in Cleveland, I went earlier this year, my first time going there since their renovation, and it's fantastic. The way it's come over with the fans, the way they've appreciated the changes that they made to Progressive Field has been great. And you know, just I think that way the organization is perceived, and from anyone that goes to work there, so one of the better organizations to work for because of what they do for the players. They're not or players and front office members like myself. They don't hold
Mark.
You back.
This is from Mark. This
well,
is
I think it's
down.
All kind of gone through Mark, as he's gone from player development up through assistant GM to GM to team president. How that's all trickled down, and you've seen so many different people go into that organization and get jobs elsewhere, you know, because of how the industry perceives Mark and the Indians and Chris Antonetti of preparing guys to get to the next level. If there's no way to advance inside the Indians organization, then they love when guys go elsewhere.
Should Blue Jays fans have any reservations about a potential relationship between Mark and Alex Anthopoulos?
No, not with the way that Mark is in dealing with people and building relationships and communicating. You know, I think if it's something that's going to work, it's going to work. You know, you have no idea why it wouldn't work. You know, you just don't know the dynamics between two people when they get together and the fundamentals of building an organization.
Are they the same type of guy though? Because you played for both.
I mean, everybody's different. Right. So I love my communication with Alex was great. I had no problem ever asking Alex a question. He was going to give me the answer that was on his mind, and that's all I asked for. And that's what I got from Mark. So from my dealings, it's been great.
Think they can coexist?
Why not?
I don't know. I'm just asking. You
absolutely.
Know both the guys.
Absolutely.
Again, Johnny Mack, our guest, former Blue Jay, is when you come back here because you were so well liked, and I remember watching you play and some of the plays you made and seeing the crowd react to you and you got sometimes you got spot duty, sometimes you started. Do you know why the people of Toronto identified with you so much, why Blue Jays fans loved watching you play? Do you have any idea why that is, or is it just kind of one of those things that clicked your relationship with fans, which still exists to this day?
Well, I mean, I feel like I kind of wanted that wherever I went. I like being around people. My dad taught me a great way how to play baseball, and just play it as hard as you can and let the results take care of themselves. Don't worry about what other people are thinking. Go out and do your job. Be extremely prepared. And I think the fans up here have identified with that. And I figured that out early, the response that I got just by trying to play hard. And I mean, for the most part, I felt like people thought, man, look at that guy. I can do that. Why can't I go out there and do that? You know why? You know, he's just like, you know, I felt like I was playing for other people because they could identify with me. And I definitely identify with them because of the way how you have to work to be able to keep your job. And you know, why not be that guy that carries it on for everybody else? I like that job.
John, you mentioned your father. I had the privilege of covering the game the day you hit the home run on Father's Day shortly after your father passed away. Was that the biggest homer of your career?
Absolutely. There's it's right up there for one of the top moments of it. And how that all happened, I actually watched the replay of it. I have a piece that somebody did a few years ago, and I watched it a couple of days ago, and you still shake your head, and you're like, I don't know how that happened. I took BP once while I was at home, and it wasn't BP. I was with a high school team back home while my dad was in hospice care back at our house. And yeah, I wasn't ready to hit. I got up here Saturday, late Saturday, like mid game. The game Father's Day on Sunday. We didn't take BP. I was up in a suite with 25 fathers and sons that we had in for Father's Day. We had a Father's Day brunch that day that my dad wanted to do that year, and it didn't work. Obviously, for him to be able to be there, he knew that well in advance, and I hadn't swung a bat. I mean, how was I expecting to go out and get a hit, make contact, let alone hit a homer, which I never hit, and how that all happened. And the first pitch to me in that at-bat was a fastball right down the middle from Affelt, and I swung and followed it back, and I thought to myself, oh, that was it, because I knew I took a good swing, and I followed it back, and I'm like, oh, man, if I got that one, that was, you know, I mean, and I don't hit homers, and I had that feeling, that thought ran through my mind, and I also don't hit breaking balls. The next pitch he throws me is a breaking ball, and for that to get over the fence, the emotions of that day are still real vivid in my mind.
It was quite a day, and you're a great story and well-liked and loved by the city of Toronto and its fans. So that only makes sense then that when Mark Shapiro, as you alluded to and probably confirmed without probably confirming it, gets the job as the president of the Toronto Blue Jays, that you would then follow suit and come back to Toronto and work here. Has he offered you that job yet?
Yeah, I'm under contract with the Cleveland Indians.
So stop doing that?
Yeah, you know, I've got a great Cleveland's been awesome for me, and it's been, you know, I've loved every organization I've been with, but Cleveland and Toronto are two of the ones that are real close to me.
Well, no matter what shakes down today, as always, it is an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Really, really appreciate you taking time to come in and spend some time with us in person this morning. It doesn't happen often, so thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a little easier in person than over the phone.
Yeah, it is. Do you want to go get something to eat after?
Let's go.
Okay. John McDonald, everybody.
Yeah.
John McMack. Good luck tonight. By the way, just make stuff up. Make stuff up as you go. You'll be just fine tonight doing the broadcast.
Well, no one can see it, I guess, right?
So, catchphrase ready?
I don't. No, it's something I need to work on. I didn't want to come out hot out of the gate.
Whammy.
Right. No, I need to come up with something on my own.
Yeah, do it. I'll help you come up with something after. Really appreciate you coming
Shazam.
In.
Shazam.
Bing pot. Thanks, man. Good to
You're
see
welcome.
You.
You're welcome.